otherwise known as Song of Solomon or the most beautiful of songs. There's no mention of the law. There's no mention of covenant. There isn't mention of wisdom literature. In fact, it expresses no interest in any of these things at all. Instead, it talks openly about love and the physical manifestation of love. Theologian Garrett said, "Song of Songs is the voices of two lovers praising each other, yearning for each other, and offering an invitation to enjoy each other." Written about 300 years before Christ, it is perhaps one of the most startling books in the Bible. 8 chapters, let's call a spade, about sex. I've asked for a lot of prayer for this sermon. Do join in that prayer now, thank you. One of the most meaningful verses and most beautiful, chapter 8, verse 6. "Always keep me in your heart and wear this bracelet to remember me by." The passion of love bursting into flame is more powerful than death, stronger than the grave. Such power in those words. It's beautiful. Please note, really important thing for us to get hold of. God is not surprised by sex. He doesn't look on us and think, "What are they doing?" He invented it. It was his idea. It is part of his plan for us to prosper and not be harmed. It is part of his plan that it is life-giving, that it is nourishing, that it helps us realize our worth and our value, that it would deepen and bless our relationships with those that we are called to love for a lifetime. Tragically, in society today, of course, that view of sex has become wildly distorted. There are so many apps and websites devoted facilitating one-night stands, hookups with strangers, people we've never met, extramarital affairs promoted openly. This is so far from God's design for us. And some struggle with the notion that intimacy is spoken about so openly in Scripture. Jewish rabbis used to teach that this Song of Songs is about Yahweh's love for his people. And indeed it is. That is a good and a right interpretation of this book. Christian leaders then went on to teach that it is about Christ's love for his bride, for the church, his sacrificial love, and indeed it is. That is also a good and a right interpretation. But it is also about physical intimacy. It talks openly about its beauty, but also about what can happen when it goes wrong, when vulnerable people are overpowered. Scripture has quite a lot to say about shame and degradation that can be put on others for the sake of our own gain. And it has a lot to say about celebrating physical intimacy, what is good and right and beautiful and powerful about sex. Please note, I am not addressing lots of hot potatoes in this sermon. There just simply isn't time. We are looking at the absolute basics this morning of honoring one another in love, as evident in Song of Songs. Because the physical expression of true love is part of God's design for our lives. In our gospel reading from Mark, you heard read that there is a danger in abandoning God's design and holding to human traditions. We are called in part as Christians to be countercultural, to lead radically different lives. I want to share some of my mate Andy's story with you because I just find it so encouraging. Andy's a good friend of mine, trained at the same place as me, and he was going on his stag do with all his mates. It was a massive night, as it rightly should have been. And he had met his fiancée, Dizzy. She was from overseas. She was over for a year doing a gap year placement at our church. And they met and just fell very, very deeply in love. Very quickly, they were together and engaged. And she decided to permanently relocate to the UK. And it had been the most beautiful whirlwind romance. Very quickly, they realized it was God's design that they would be married and be together. So he was out on his stag do, and one of the things Andy does is raise up and mentor young men. He'd been involved in youth work for many, many years and had seen many of them go on to meet their spouses and get married. So it was an absolute joy that it was finally his turn, and we were so rightly overjoyed for him and celebrating with him. He piled into a cab with a few of his mates, and they were heading across London, and it was quite a long journey, so they sat back and they got chatting. And Andy turned to his friends and he began sharing all of the things that he just absolutely loved about his fiancée, the things that he adored about her. He listed the things he loved and he said he couldn't believe that she'd agreed to marry him in all his foolishness and his weaknesses. And he shared with them that he couldn't wait for their wedding night because they'd decided to wait. The other guys also chimed in. Some were married, some weren't, but they were sharing what they hoped for, their dreams for their relationships, or the things that they loved about their partners. The cab pulled up outside the nightclub, and Andy leaned forward and said to the cabbie, "Mate, what do we owe you?" The cabbie said this, "I've been driving stag parties around since before you were born. Never have I ever heard a group of young men speak so respectfully about their partners. I'm absolutely blown away. No charge, mate." Now, I would love to tell you that that cabbie went on to do Alpha and become a Christian. I've got absolutely no idea. They never saw each other again. But what a beautiful example of counter-cultural living, loving and respecting the partner that God had bought him, in a way that witnesses Christ's love for the church. Clearly, he'd had a deep impact on that man that day by witnessing a life that is called to live differently. So let's look at Song of Songs briefly now. We're going to do a very whistle-stop tour through all 8 chapters, but just touching briefly on each one. In chapter 1, we are introduced to the lovers, and we're told that their love is so deep, is so intense that it will challenge any obstacle that comes their way. Their love knows no bounds and will overcome. In chapter 2, we see their companionship and their intimacy growing and deepening as they experience a joy in one another's presence and a fulfillment that they simply haven't found elsewhere. This is the heady phase of falling in love. Chapter 3 sees their wedding day. The groom is likened to Solomon in his wisdom, and the bride is glowing and joyful. And the imagery that's used in this chapter is intensely sensory. It talks of tastes and smells, pomegranates, grapes, honey, henna, saffron, cinnamon, myrrh, frankincense. This is part of God's design, that our senses would be alive and would be blessed by our loving relationships. This is what he wants for us. He invented pleasure. It's his idea. Song of Songs talks about the power and importance of holding on to love for the right time, the right person, and the right time. And in this part of Scripture, it's referred to as when they are bonded for life. It is on their wedding day. Again, to come back to the lots of hot potatoes that I am not going to mention, one I do want to touch on briefly is divorce. There's an awful lot of really damaging teaching about divorce in the church today. And my personal conviction is that actually divorce can be a gift from God. It can be a lifeline to escape an abusive relationship where those marital bonds are broken already anyway. It is not God's design that someone stays in an abusive relationship. He is opposed to that. And this goes for both male and female. And if you are here today or watching today and trapped in an abusive situation, please know that God supports you leaving that situation. You are a child of God and you are to be honored as such. So though I'm not going into it deeply, I did want to add that caveat today. Chapters 4 and 5, we see the lover appear at the bride's door, and then he is gone. What's that about? Well, there's lots of possible interpretations. For some, and certainly for me, as you know, part of my story, it spoke deeply to that time of waiting for the right person that can be a real heartache. Or perhaps when you think you've met the right person and it doesn't work the way you had hoped and prayed it had. There is a real heartbreak in that. And heartbreak can feel like a real physical pain. And that's what we hear in these chapters. For some, those who interpret it to be God's relationship with us, it can speak to that dark night of the soul, where God, although he never leaves us, the experience of his presence is pulled away. And it heightens our awareness of our need for him. You know, because I've shared before, that's an experience I've had. And I remember saying, ironically, to Finn, who I'm now married to, if I never get married, I've got to get the presence of God back. It deepened and heightened my awareness of my desperate need for him to such an extent. So those passages speak to me personally. And as the bridegroom comes back, the intimacy of connection and the depth of love is even more powerful for that absence. We are called to unity with him and to one another in the godly framework he has given to us. Another very brief caveat that I'm not speaking on today is that some are called to singleness. It is a calling for some. And it's high calling indeed, but again, not speaking on that today. Chapter 6 and 7, the lovers are reunited in a dance, and there's talk of mandrakes and fertility, and love is life-giving. Chapter 8 talks about how the family seal or crest was so hardwired into their identity that it actually seemed to be part of who they are, and yet their love is so strong that they have become one. And even that seal has merged into one. Their love has truly conquered all. Christ's love for us conquers all. It is truly stronger than the grave. Death is overcome by his love for us. So what does all of this mean for us today? We are to mirror that love with our lives. Sex is God's great idea. He is not surprised by it. But it is also very powerful. And like all powerful things, it is to be treated with great care and with great respect, as God outlines for us. Lust, for example, is not okay. This is so very different to God's design for pleasure, because it is about our desires at the expense of another. Often this involves degradation and dehumanizing of another person in overly sexualized images and perhaps even pornography. Desire is good and it is right and it is from God. But those desires are only truly satisfied in the offering of ourselves to another and seeking the good of that other, not just our own. And again, this is for both men and women. Because lust is about our needs and not the needs of the person that we are in a loving relationship with. Let's take the view again for a moment that Song of Songs is about Christ's love for the church. What did Jesus do for us? He poured himself out in love for us. Jesus had no self-interest in his relationship with us. He was entirely faithful and entirely committed to his bride, the church. So let us pursue a godly view of love and relationships, which is about seeking the joy and the fulfillment of another in the context of total commitment, which protects us as his precious children and witnesses something wildly different to the world. For Jesus' sake, amen.